Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you as usual. And Jim, we start with the good, and it seemed like Tuesday was going to be a really annoying day when it comes to the ongoing allegations from Democrats that Republicans are waging a war on women. They're trotting out their latest equal pay legislation because apparently Lilly Ledbetter didn't get the job done or something. And if they also brought out their long-held statistic that women make 77% of what men make, and we've talked before about how that statistic in many ways can be misleading, not to say that it never happens, but the White House is out there saying it's time for equal pay for equal work and so forth, and Jonathan Karl of ABC asked a question that Jay Carney really couldn't handle.
The president cited census data that women on average make 77% of what men make. Why is that an example or evidence of discrimination in the workforce at large, but it's not evidence of discrimination when women here at the White House make 88% of what men here at the White House make?
Carney then went on to say that they make sure they make every effort that women get opportunities for good positions in the White House, that they make good money. And Carl says, you're still not given equal pay for equal work. And he says, well, we're doing better than the average. And Jim, in addition to being called out on it, most of the mainstream media picked up on this aspect of the story, which is clearly not how the White House wanted to roll this out on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think it's just too juicy for them to ignore. If they believe, you know, women deserve equal pay for equal work, which actually I don't think you have to really look far and wide to find somebody who opposes that.
Right.
Or at least equal pay for doing the same work. Then, you'd say, all right, well, the problem is that 77-cent figure looks at all women and all men, and different, men and women very often do different jobs. Men are, much more likely to go into engineering and various other professions that are high paying. Women are more likely to go into certain professions like teaching that are on the lower end of the scale. That's what accumulates for a big chunk of the difference. The other one also is that women, obviously, being, capable of getting pregnant, are more likely to take maternity leave, and this will have them out of the workforce for longer periods and kind of slow them on their career ascent. Most women are perfectly fine with that. That basically there's, if you pick up almost any magazine with a heavily female audience, they discuss this, the work-life balance, which is a struggle for men as well, except that men don't have little people come out of them periodically in their lives. So, most people look at this and say, all right, this is a slightly more complicated issue than this, simple narrative of heroes and villains and mean employers and poor women victims who need the Obama White House to step in to save them. But what's even more intriguing is that this is one area where the president has absolute control over this, right? I mean, he doesn't have to, jawbone a CEO. He is perfectly capable of setting pay rates for his own staff. And when he's, we're better than the average, turns out to be the excuse of Jay Carney. The next question then is, all right, so how about the companies that are better than the average? You want to let them off the hook too? What are we looking for here? So it probably did backfire on the Democrats quite a bit. I think, like I said, a very simple, effective argument of lead by example on this. I really would love to see someday the president get asked this and just see what kind of dissembling he does on that. Because as much fun as it is to watch, Jay Carney stammer, we're kind of used to that. Whereas I think it'd be very interesting to see if Obama could go through the entire answer to that question without calling anyone sweetie.
Yeah, this has been used a lot. And of course, it's unfortunately been used to great effect in some campaigns, certainly 2012 and in the Virginia race for governor 2013, pretty effective as well. But on to martini number two now. And it's an interesting juxtaposition that this happened on the very same day that the White House is talking about equal treatment of women. There is a story out of Brandeis University up in Massachusetts that it has withdrawn the planned awarding of an honorary degree to Ayan Hirsi Ali, a staunch critic of Islam and its treatment of women. The university said in a statement, quote, "She is a compelling public figure and advocate for women's rights, and we respect and appreciate her work to protect and defend the rights of women and girls throughout the world. That said, we cannot overlook certain of her past statements that are inconsistent with Brandeis University's core values. This woman was raised in a strict Muslim family in Somalia, but after surviving a civil war, genital mutilation, beatings, and an arranged marriage, she renounced the faith in her 30s. And she has also been a member of the Dutch parliament, and there are several members there, like Geert Wilders and so forth, that have really spoken out against Islam, and liberals don't like that. So, Jim, I'm not sure what about civil war, genital mutilation, beatings, and arranged marriages Brandeis University begs to differ with her on, but it shows that the messages weren't consistent across the board yesterday in how liberals look at women.
Yeah, you know, first of all, Brandeis University looks like a bunch of fools for this, because how do you offer her that honorary degree not knowing what her life's work is, and not knowing right. that, you know, this is pretty darn controversial to quite a few Muslims. I don't think it's unfair to say that her characterization of the faith and the way it is practiced in a great number of countries in the world is scathing and really top to bottom critical. And you know, that having said that, the reason her opposition is scathing is that her treatment under Islam was brutal. It's not like she's making this stuff up, and it's not like she's, you know, repeating secondhand stories. Her viewpoint of this is shaped by her personal experience. As somebody said, good, you know, privileged Brandeis students have basically told the woman who was beaten and treated badly that she doesn't know what she's talking about when it comes to Islam. Nice to see that they've offered an invitation for her to speak at the university. There are a lot of universities where the political correctness is so suffocating they wouldn't even allow that. We'll see if the students are wise enough to listen to her on this subject, greet her with an open mind. But really what happened here was that the Muslim Student Association objected, unsurprisingly, since she has some very, you know, harsh criticism for their faith. Then the university professors got on the case of the administrators. The administrators said, okay, we want to run away from this controversy entirely. Now, you don't necessarily have a constitutional right to speak at a university. You know, they're well within their rights to rescind it, but I think the rest of us are well within our rights to say, boy, that university looks quite foolish. And I hope they've never screened the musical The Book of Mormon, since that certainly is very harsh in its assessment of the Mormon faith. But, you know, Mormons don't issue fatwas, so we're not going to, you know, nobody really is afraid of irking them. So,
all right, on to martini number three now. And part of the president's schedule today will be to head to Fort Hood, Texas for the second time in his administration to be part of a memorial service for folks killed there. Of course, 13 were killed by Nadal Hassan in late 2009, just last week. Three were killed, 16 injured before the gunman took his own life. The president will take part in the memorial service. Jim, that's not the crazy martini. The crazy martini is that as long as he's in Texas, he's going to squeeze in a Democratic Party fundraiser down there. I don't know if this was already on his schedule or this was added once he knew he'd be at the memorial service. If the Democrats were smart, they'd make this some sort of wounded warrior, veteran assistance type fundraiser. But something tells me that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we've been beating this drum for a really long time. And I think it's just very clear that, you know, the same guy who went into the campaign rally on September 12th, right after the attack on Benghazi, feels no compunction to limit his fundraising or his campaign activities, no matter what else is going on in the world. You may remember the first time there was a Fort Hood shooting, he came out to an event with those Native Americans and gave a shout out to everybody and was, you know, actually, then, oh, by the way, there's been this terrible shooting and we all really regret, you know, this awful events. My guess is that he will go. I'm glad he's going to the Fort Hood Memorial Service. My guess is he will go out and he'll make perfectly appropriate remarks, probably talking about how we need to unite as Americans, how no matter our views, we all share the same blood. We all love this country and we all need to come together. And then we'll go to the fundraiser and talk about how evil Republicans are and the Koch brothers are trying to destroy democracy and we need to stop them and we need to punish our enemies, right, right, Greg?
That's been said before.
Get in their faces, you know, hit back twice as hard, you know. That's, you know. And he won't detect any contradiction in this at all because that's who he is.
And it probably won't be filmed at the fundraiser, so he won't have to.
Oh, yeah, media can't go to that. No. That's, look, you got to pay big money to see that kind of stuff, Greg, you know. What do you think? He's a public figure and the public has a right to know that kind of stuff? Come on, you know.
Our thoughts will certainly be with the families of the victims at Fort Hood today. And as it turns out, also the families of these students in Pennsylvania. What a horrible story this morning. But Jim, we'll be back at it tomorrow, hopefully, with happier news.
It's a low bar to clear, Greg. See
yeah,
you tomorrow.
Certainly compared to today. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Thursday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.